information that's being kept under wraps in relation to that. And that's not conspiracy theory. I mean, this is what we do for a living. Weather manipulation. Was it Herefordshire? Oh, there was an, oh my goodness, I have to look up the details. A 1950 flood in Britain that did a huge amount of damage and caused some deaths and was directly related to Royal Air Force weather manipulation. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, vaguely, yeah.
Am I going to make me look it up?
Very vague, but that's all right. Yeah, it's a deep one.
So, you know, it's a 1952 Lynmouth. 1952 Lynmouth. Lynmouth. 1952 Lynmouth.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, one of the earlier ones and caused considerable damage. And the best part about that is just like 9/11, just like the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, just like any other mass tragedy outrage where government officials are paid to protect us and obviously did not. And you know what? You know who was disciplined, brought on charges, investigated? Zero. None of them. I like to say that the same number of people who were investigated for 9/11, for the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, which was facilitated by an FBI undercover agent, Imad Salem, the 1952 Lynmouth flooding, the same number of people were investigated and disciplined and or imprisoned as the number of people that Charlie Manson killed. Zero. None. And yet, you know, Charlie, the only thing that's worth mentioning about poor Charlie Manson, who's been in prison forever and ever and ever for not having killed anybody, is that he spent time at the Roman Catholic orphanage of Boys Town and was so upset and afraid by what happened in his time that he ran away within 2 weeks. Oh, by the way, it was a Roman Catholic chaplain on behalf of the United States government that had him moved from his public facility to the Roman Catholic facility of Boys Town, which is where young boys were trafficked for the 1980s and 90s, especially during the Reagan administration. And a Roman Catholic CIA Army intelligence guy by the name of John DeCamp was given the mission of redirecting the focus of the media away from the Roman Catholic orphanage and to the pimp, Lawrence King, and his credit union, which had absolutely nothing to do with it. He was in the same way that Jeffrey Epstein has, you know, he's just a pimp. He's just a middleman, a manager. So, anyway.
Boy.
Yeah.
It's a...
It goes very, very deep. It goes very, very deep.
Yeah.
And so... Well, good for you. Bottom line, good for you for not jumping to conclusions. Listen, all we can do is move forward with moral high ground of doing the right thing and uncovering the truth and disseminating the truth is the right thing. We fight against forces that are overwhelmingly powerful, overwhelmingly, and can do all kinds of harmful things to us, but they also have rules too. And we just have to rely on our moral authority to stay clear of that. And honestly, and by the way, this is all stuff that we could, you know, we can go live if you wanted to on this, but real quick to close this thought, I look at people who have paid a price for apparently just doing the right thing. And then I look at them personally and I wonder what was it in their personal lives that allowed the rules to be used to harm them. And a guy like Gary Webb comes to mind, the reporter from the San Jose Mercury News, who broke the story in the 80s that the CIA was trafficking drugs. The CIA is the biggest drug cartel, destabilizing its host nation, destabilizing the United States of America by dumping millions upon millions of dollars of illegal narcotics onto city streets. And of course, Gary committed suicide by shooting himself twice in the face, which is a very common way to commit suicide. So you look at a guy like that and say, wow, you know, murdered for trying to do the right thing. And there's always something going on in the background. There's always, you know, there's always another story as to what it was that allowed the rules. And sometimes you never figure it out. Sometimes you just don't know. And it just looks to you like innocent people are getting harmed, and you get scared. And what am I doing? You know, just back out. But can't let it stop you from doing the right thing. It just as crazy as it sounds, we're more powerful. We are more powerful. We do have the high ground, and it's a house of cards. Look, cancel culture is a great example. Cancel culture. That's utter fear. That is stark, raving fear. They cannot allow the populace to get energized. They cannot allow that, because they're done. They're done. They have spent millennia surrounding themselves with a Praetorian Guard, a little Praetorian Guard. The corrupt cops and soldiers that are the ones that are allowed to wield coercive force. And they know it's nothing. Countless armored cars, we're not on the air, so I'll say it, piece of shit cops dressed like fucking soldiers, camouflage, body armor, real assault rifles, not the phony assault rifles some of us in America are allowed to have, and none is in Australia allowed to have. And it's nothing. It's nothing. That's the essence. That's why that they pushed so hard in Australia. It started all the way back with Port Arthur and the confiscation of the guns. And they said, hey, all right, let's go. Green light. We can do whatever we want. So, and they have. But even there, they're still afraid. They're still deeply afraid of the truth. So we're on the side of the angels, man. Believe it.
Yeah. That's right.
You don't sound convinced.
A lot of stuff.
I wish you hadn't gone down that road, Johnny. I wish you hadn't gone down that road.
No, I've done a lot of work on Port Arthur, and it's a deep one. It's hard to know where to. Just trying to. Well, where would you want to start today? Exactly.
Let's just absolutely anywhere. Let's think of it from the point of view of your audience. So here's this total stranger coming in.
It's too, your work's too deep. Your books are too much. Like it's yeah. no way.
Just break it down Barney style. We'll walk in, explain what we're doing, and now once we get a toe in the door, then we can go down any rabbit hole that we want, because any rabbit hole that we go down will give credence to what I'm trying to say. So the vignettes and the specific examples will be valuable for the overall general picture. So, I mean, you don't even have to paint the general picture. Just come in, say, hey, got this guy. He's an author. He intrigued me. Go ahead, cool. Johnny. Say what you're selling.
You're right. I mean, it's you're going to have to come back on and continue.
I love it, brother. I'm yours.
You bet. Yeah. Well, today I've got, what is it, 4:30 your time, isn't it, 4:30?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Today I've got I started a bit late today, got about a bit over an hour, so it's not enough.
Do a teaser. No, it's perfect for a teaser. It's perfect.
Yeah,
for a
just
teaser.
To just because I haven't spoken with you before, just to sort of bring things in, and then I'm here on the weekends at this time, sort of a good time for me. But I'm usually perfect. A bit earlier. I was running late today, but yeah, I do that with guests because you can't do 2 4-hour podcasts because people's attention span and stuff, and then yes. You can't try to cram everything in one because it gets too much. So I prefer, if I'm doing research like this and deeper books, to continue, sort of like, so, you know, on the next one, we could sort of start getting into this new book and stuff and a bit more, but sort of just set it up today and bring it in and go from there. Cause that's cool. That's what I usually do anyway. We're always discussing all sorts of things here. It's not,
yes. Anytime you want to do a general wandering continuity type show, we can do that anytime, and whenever you want to get into something specific, just give me a heads up and as much notice as you can, because then I like to have names, places, and dates lined up so that I don't sound like I'm pulling things out of my arse.
That's all right. We'll just do the bullet points today of your work, kind of where it started, so you know what's going on here. That's okay, and it links with what we've been talking about anyway, the medicine and stuff. This is very interesting, and well, we'll just go, huh?
I'm ready.
All right, I'll bring it in now. All right, folks, we're plugged in, and it's Saturday the 26th of March, 22, flying by. Hope everyone's doing fine. Adam here, the Kraz Files podcast, and joining me today for a chat is Giovanni Augustino, Johnny Cirucci. Is that right, buddy?
You got it all
wow.
right.
Wow, how's that? First
you
time
might have
as
a
well.
Little Italian in you.
Italian's good. Absolutely. Johnny Cirucci is joining me for a chat today, Giovanni's a heavy researcher and writes these amazing books. So, as we were just talking about before the show, anyway, this is a lot of work here, and so we're going to be just moving forward here. And today we're just going to be covering the bullet points, going over the work, and we're going to move forward into other podcasts because this is deeper work. So we want to chat about this a lot more. And so very interesting times, and I love to get guests on to go down these rabbit holes. It might be not what people are used to, or people might want to add more or have things to say, but it's just good to get the discussion going on these kinds of issues and topics and deeper books. And so we'll have a great chat today, Johnny, and everything's up on my website as well. So so many podcasts and great info going up there. So keep commenting away and keep their website active. It's a big, heavy website. And, of course, contact me anytime here. I'm always here on the ground so I can help you with any issues or anything you have. And thanks to the members as well. You guys are awesome. Can't keep that website up without you guys. And already a very interesting start to 2022. Lot of things happening. It's been a really amazing start considering, you know, we're just into the third month and there's already so many things happening. So a perfect time to get you on, buddy, for sure. And, you sent me, this has got to be your new book, The Disciples of Ra, The Shocking Truth About Medicine, Viruses, and Vaccines. And I'll just say to the Kraz listeners as well, Giovanni connected with me through some of the podcasts that we've been doing here about the fake virus thing, you know, and so that was really good. Dawn Lester and David Parker, and a lot of the great people. I've had so many folks over the years that have been coming on as we've been breaking all this down, this whole virus thing. Everybody's running scared. They're scared of their shadows now. So unbelievable times. We had Jim West and a lot of people, John Rappaport, and so many people discussing this very issue, especially in the last couple of years with all this COVID thing going on. We really have been trying to break it down and get as much information out as we can. Tracy Northern shows were really popular because she just covers virus and germ theory, you know, contagion, all of this. So they did really well. A lot of people throwing through questions and wanting to get more info on this. And your new book, buddy, sort of very much focuses on this whole truth about viruses, vaccines, this whole medicine industry. I just started into it. It's a big one. So I'll just sort of plod through in my own time. But I was just reading the whole medicine industry and how they're trained and everything. I think this is going to be really fascinating to a lot of our listeners. But as I said, it's such big work. We can just sort of start to move forward into this because there's going to be a lot of very interesting information that you're going to cover here that people might not be have studied before or be aware of. But that's okay. You know, we're always learning new things. And what was interesting to me as well is you're kind of taking on the work, as you said to me, just in a message of David McGowan and these folks as well, which I've been studying and looking at their stuff, which is awesome that you're kind of taking this further and going down this path, because this is all research that I'm into as well. So a great connection here meeting you. Good to have you on, my friend, all the way from the U.S.
Adam, I'm gonna sing your praises for a moment here, because I popped in as someone who has enjoyed listening to your show and found you to be sincere. And it's unfortunate that many people in alternative media don't necessarily, they seem to be pulling their punches. There's information, there's avenues of investigation that some of the bigger names that are out there leave. I mean, you know, a guy like Joe Rogan obviously leaves a lot of stones unturned. And I want to let your audience know that I just kind of popped up. You didn't know me. You didn't know who I was. And I said, hey, there's another side to this story. And I know that we're seeing a lot of connections to, say, Israel and Zionism. And what it is that we do, supposedly, hopefully, is to give the big picture to our audience that we're in so-called alternative media, truth-seeking. People are coming to us because they want to know. And we found that a lot of well-known hosts out there have got to be coming across information that they're holding back. It just seems that way. And brother, to your credit, I popped up, and I got to tell you the reaction from 98%. Now, I've been doing this for almost 10 years. I've got 5 books. I've got a podcast that's 180 episodes. I've got a tremendous amount of material out there. So it's not like I'm, you know, a teenage kid sitting in his mommy's basement just typing away on his keyboard. At the bare minimum, you know, you'd think someone would give me a look and just say, hey, that's interesting, Johnny, but, you know, it doesn't really fit with my program or whatever the reason is. No, not at all. I get like 98% just flat out ignored. And instead, Adam takes a look, says, wow, okay. He's got this tome that he sent me, 800 pages, folks. So that's why Adam is not well-versed in Disciples of Ra right now. It's a monster. But it's because I spent 2 years on it. And it all kind of flows through into my background and what it is that what I'm doing. So let me go ahead and transverse into this. And let me also say that this is not easy. And this is not easy for myself. It's not easy for Adam. But before the show, Adam was talking about some weird personal experiences and not jumping to conclusions, not being paranoid about it. And here I am saying, you know what, dude, that's weird. I'd be worried. And God bless you, man. You're staying on an even keel. You're not allowing things to shake you up, and you're driving forward, which is exactly what we should do, because we just don't know. There's all we can do is have moral assurity that we're doing the right thing, and because of that we need to drive on, because we're providing a service. And there are many people out there that hit that point, that juncture, and don't and back away and allow cowardice to have them make the decisions for them. And many of them have been richly rewarded as a result. And, you know, not to pick on poor Joe Rogan, but, you know, didn't he get his start questioning the moon landing, and then suddenly everything, you know, he's like NASA's biggest fan, and I don't follow his work that much because they dance around the truth. They play this game of how close can I dance to the truth without getting burned. And some of them are very, very good at that, very good at dancing around the fire of truth and never really giving you the big picture. And that's my point. I am a career military guy. I'm fourth generation Italian immigrant, born and raised in America, in the Northeast. And being Italian, did I say Catholic? Because that's just a way of life. It's not even, it's more than a religion. It's a way of life. And because it's a religion and a way of life, it's not really deep. It doesn't really answer serious spiritual questions. It just gets you into the ritual and the memorization and the movement. It gives you a false sense of security, which unfortunately, if life shakes you up, doesn't help you very much, unless, you know, you run back to the clergy, run back to the priest, and hopefully the priest hasn't abused you in the past. But I always had a part of me where I wanted to learn more, and that Catholicism is supposedly built on Christianity, on the person of Jesus Christ, and wanted to learn more about that part of it, and it was always obscured by all kinds of other things in the Catholic religion. And so that was where I was in my college days, and went into a non-denominational church and had a radical experience where I would consider myself born again, and left Catholicism because I found that it answered this non-denominational fundamentalist Christian church, answered a lot of my questions that Catholicism failed to do. And uncovered just a nagging, I always had nagging doubts and questions about certainly the people running the Catholic Church and the people who ran the Catholic Church throughout history. I mean, we've all kind of heard, yeah, maybe that Pope wasn't so nice. You have no idea. You have no idea the power families and the evil and the terrible things that have been done. You know, Rodrigo Borgia, Pope Alexander VI, just one example. As a distraction in my fourth book, Romans of Mass Destruction, I got into the Borgias. Lucrezia Borgia was his daughter. He was supposedly celibate, and yet Cesare, his son, an absolute monster, mass murdering monster. He was a cardinal, then he was a general. It's almost for certain that both father and son were having sex with the daughter, sister. And all of this hype around Lucrezia Borgia being an assassin, a poisoned assassin, a murderess, is a distraction from just how evil the rest of her family. Hey, she wasn't supposed to have a family in the first place. Father had her out of wedlock. So, and deeply tied with the Orsini power family. It just, so this is the stuff I'm finding out. Well, all right, let me finish my lifelong in the military. Miserable time in the military, Adam. Hated it. Wanted to do so much and just kept missing the mark. Whether it was God's plan, whether it was my inability to succeed, you know, say what you will. I think it's probably a combination of both. A tour in Iraq just sealed it for me. Absolutely sealed it for me. I always felt like America's worst enemies were her own institutions, and that took a lot of training to overcome that realization, that me questioning that, because, you know, I grew up the left right paradigm, unfortunately, devolves into ideologies that are easily fleeced. And what we have eventually is, well, in American politics, we have a very hardcore far left countered by a fraudulent right, a phony right, because really right-wing ideology is in no way represented. It was not represented by Donald Trump. It was not represented by the Bush, Skull and Bones Bush clan. So I got disenfranchised with so-called conservative media, and I lovingly, hatefully call it conservatard, because just the people on the right should know better. They should be aware. The great example, Adam, is the Q phenomenon. How it is that there should be a large portion of truth seekers that acknowledge systemic child sex slave trafficking and then turn around and think that Donald Trump is going to save them from it. Absurd.
It's a weird one, isn't it?
Absolutely absurd. The guy is a pedophile himself. All you need to do is do a search on Google. And by the way, obviously Google is just absolutely, Google is Skynet. And it just happens to be a coincidence that Google was born on the birthday of the Jesuits, September 27th. Even Google, do a search on Google, Donald Trump, Ivanka Trump, inappropriate. And you'll see everything you need to know about the character of Donald Trump. I mean, this is the guy that said right before he was elected, and supposed evangelical Christians still came on and laid hands on him and loved on him, that if you're famous, you can – something to the effect of, if you're famous, you can do whatever you want to a woman, including grab her by the – and use the locker room turn. Are you kidding me? This is the guy that the evangelical, supposed evangelical right gets behind and, yeah, go, Donald, go. And meanwhile, nobody knows what his actual ideology is in his past. He's all over the place. He's going to Little St. James Island with his good friend Jeffrey Epstein and his other good friend Bill Clinton. So, you know, and here it is. He's remade. I'll tell you, Adam, as I look these things up, I see the same thing was done with Ronald Reagan, a far left, a Hollywood communist who was just completely remade into the embodiment of American patriotism for no reason, simply because he suddenly was anti-communist, according to the rewrite. So I don't know if I connected the dots for your audience, for people that have never seen me or heard me before. So a military career and an unhappy, miserable one. And going to Iraq, and I saw all around me the chaos, the evil of good people suffering everywhere, and just was overwhelmed by it, and came home even more miserable than when I was when I left, and had burned a year out of my life to do that, lost a year with my wife, lost, you know, several years with my beloved pets and pet lives. And I'm like, well, for what? For what? He just made me more bitter. And the good news is it caused me to question things and to look deeper and not just salute and drive on, which is what the vast majority of, unfortunately, certainly higher ups do in the military and in law enforcement, the Praetorian community, I call it. And it was in me looking deeper that I went down this road of finding out. So 15, 16, 17 years ago, it still is today, but much more then, not so much today. The buzzword was Illuminati. Illuminati this, Illuminati that. Well, the reason why it's a buzzword is because it tells you nothing. It tells you nothing. It's like deep state. It's like... you know, what other buzzwords are they?
Alex Jones stuff.
Yeah, globalists. Good for you.
The globalists.
Alex Jones and globalists. Yeah. Globalists.
The globalists.
Right, globalists. The globalists are going to get you. How you get the globalists?
He did say the Saudi Arabians did 9/11, though, didn't he? It was the Saudi Alex Jones.
Yeah. And there you go. And a great example.
The Saudis.
The Saudis. We're gonna take out the... So the one time he gives you an enemy you can focus on, and thinking from a military perspective... Your intelligence is why your intelligence runs the war. Your intelligence runs the efforts. You need to know who your enemy is in order to be effective. So if you don't know, how do you go fight the Illuminati? How do you fight the globalists? Well, what are you going to do to fight the Saudis? You're going to do anything to fight the Saudis. You can take out the entire Saudi royal family, and that won't do a damn thing to make you less of a slave. So, you know, when we finally get down to it, and honestly, and this is why I love you, brother, because I said, listen, we're seeing a lot of evidence that the crux of our woes is Israel and Zionism. And I'm telling you, they are the middlemen. They are just like Jeffrey Epstein is nothing more than a pimp. The fact that Jeffrey Epstein is a household name is proof that there's something bigger. There's something deeper. And for me, when I'm looking up Illuminati 15, 16, 17 years ago, whatever it was, I don't even remember anymore. I did come across a Jewish connection, and I found a bigger one than that. Johann Adam Weishaupt from a family of converso Jews who went all in to Roman Catholicism and gave Johann Adam a thorough Jesuit education, starting at the tender age of 7, very similar to another guy by the name of Bill Barr and his father. And oh my goodness, what a rabbit trail that could be with the Epstein story. Well, I'll pause that and just tell you the rest of my how I came here and found out that Johann Adam Weishaupt, sometimes called just Adam Weishaupt, spent his entire life surrounded by Jesuits. And I have, I want to say, at least 2 sources which say that he became a Jesuit priest. Now, a lot of people out there might get a little extravagant and call someone like Anthony Fauci a Jesuit, as well they should, but I don't have any evidence that he was ordained, and that's critical. I don't want to I want to be very precise in my language. Whole nother rabbit trail, how it is that the coronavirus has Anthony Fauci as its face and no one's saying Jesuit right after that. So these are examples of finding things as I'm looking into them. And well, why am I doing it at all? Because I'm dissatisfied, because I'm bitter, because I'm a truth seeker at heart, because I'm questioning the authorities that obviously are full of poop, and they're upsetting me because they're nothing but trouble. And I, as a former Marine, I, as a soldier at the time, want to get the mission accomplished. I want to accomplish the mission, and I want to do it in a fashion where we win, where America wins, where the Constitution wins. And it seems like at every turn, my own chain of command is holding me back. And as a student of military history, clearly anything to do with the Vietnam conflict is obvious. It's obvious that was internal suicide, that the United States, I mean, at a very, very, very superficial level, could you say that the United States government allowed thousands upon thousands of good Americans to be maimed and killed, and probably millions of good Indonesian, East Asian civilians to be horribly killed? For what? Just because you had stalemate with the Soviet Union? If you got stalemate, then back out. No, there's obviously bigger things going on. And turns out that's what was wanted. It was a meat grinder to kill the enemies of who's really in charge. And I'd like to sell to you and to your audience that that's Rome, and it's always been Rome. It's never for 1,000 years, starting in 538 with Emperor Justinian calling the Bishop of Rome, Bishop John of Rome, the corrector of heretics, the Bishop of Bishops. And this is what I found. Johann Adam Weishaupt. Here it is, from a Jewish background, turned into a devout Catholic family and became a Jesuit himself, and is being credited with the creation of the Illuminati on, what do they say, May 1st, 1776. Well, it turns out that in looking up the history, and see, and this is what started me down this path of, whoa, how is it people are saying the word Illuminati and never saying Jesuit and only rarely saying Weishaupt? What am I missing? Are you just shooting for sensationalism that's meaningless, or is that what a bigger player wants? And so being a bitter, suspicious guy that I was, whenever I see something that appears to be covered up, I doggedly dig deeper and go after it. And this kind of confirmed for me my own path of being mistrustful of my own upbringing, of having an Italian Catholic background and being steeped in religion. I can go into a Catholic mass right now at this moment and know every movement because it's just ingrained. And that's powerful. Adam, it's powerful. I use the example. So when we talk about these key figures, nowadays many of them are overt Roman Catholic and always far left, and viciously pro-abortion, and yet in great standing with their church that is supposedly vehemently pro-life. Guys like Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Justin Trudeau, Emmanuel Jupiter Macron says as soon as he gets in office, he's going to rule like Jupiter. Are you kidding me? The guy that married his drama teacher from his Jesuit high school when she was busy with another family. And this is the guy running France. Are you kidding me? And he did this in a Jesuit high school and no one's talking about this? What? This is the stuff that red flags for me, and why I dug deeper, why I wrote Illuminati Unmasked, published it in 2015, and have been going down this road ever since. Because, you know, some people might say, well, you know, Johnny, you're betraying your, I'm not betraying anything. I'm telling the truth for truth's sake. And that's one of the passions that I found in my conversion. I tell people tongue in cheek, and actually not tongue in cheek, that I was a Catholic before I became a Christian. And this gives me the power and the impetus and the passion and zeal to go after what's right. My background be damned. I don't have any loyalty to how I grew up and the religion that I grew up in. But if you don't have, that's the key, Adam, if you don't have something powerful, bigger than those influences, then those influences rule you. I like to give this example of we call it, a good friend of mine, Jezidu, of these factors in the background of someone's life, of a powerful public figure. And obviously the first and foremost is, are they practicing Catholic? If they're practicing Catholic, obviously the Catholic Church has a power over them. They feel obligated to do whatever their clergy tells them on the very future of the immortal future of their soul. And this has been a powerful manipulation factor for all eternity. Religion, human beings claiming to speak on behalf of the divine have done more evil than any other force in existence. And I mean, even military Rome, eventually, you know, Julius Caesar, you're going to worship me like a god. So it is religion that is the problem. And another Jewish puppet of Rome, Karl Heinrich Marx, said it well. It is an opiate. Religion is an opiate, and that's not what I have. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ based on independence. I do it for myself, and I constantly encourage my audience. You've got to do it for yourself. Don't, if you're in any type of flavor of Christian, don't just go in, check the box for an hour on Sunday morning, park your brain and your soul, put it there on the coat hook, and allow your whoever, pastor, preacher, priest, to run and rule you for that time and plant seeds of whatever, and then turn around and check the box and punch your time card and go home. You have got to be your own pastor in the same way you've got to be your own healer. Oh my goodness, Adam, we need multiple shows to talk about, and you've already done a fantastic job with your guests and my dear friends, Don Lester and David Parker, and I've just been enraptured with your shows with Tracy Northern. She is awesome, brother. She is take no prisoners, no compromise, Tracy. I love her. She holds the course where many people in the so-called truth community, many naturopaths, don't hold the course and don't take the fallacies of the germ theorists to their logical conclusions. Good for her and good for you and having the courage to find her and give her time on the show. So anyway, let me pull myself off from some of these rabbit trails. Just explaining my background, how it is that I got to where I'm at. Bottom line, the best thing that could have happened to me is to have a miserable time in the military and not to suffer you know, not to suffer in any more than I already have as a result of it, and to look for my own answers, because I've been a bitter truth seeker and wanting more and feeling betrayed by so-called conservative media back in the 80s and 90s, that they failed and refused to do their job, and they were the supposed alternatives, right? Rush Limbaugh and Mark Levin and Irish Catholic Sean Hannity and Irish Catholic Bill O'Reilly, all of whom are still, with exception of Limbaugh, who's now dead, Hannity and O'Reilly, all still very prominent through today. Geraldo Rivera from the left, supposedly. And what do they all have in common? They all have in common the same. I'll give an example. They all have in common the answer to the question, how it is that our communist enemy in Cuba would allow the United States government, their enemy, to maintain a military intelligence black bag rendition torture facility on their island, on the Castro Island. What? Is this not the same island that the United States almost went to war through over, and the placing of nuclear ballistic missiles on this island being used as a proxy by our enemy, the Soviet Union? How is that possible? Why would the Castros? And meanwhile, you on the other side, we're being told that Fidel Castro was the target of over 300, some sources say 360, guides say 365. They tried to assassinate him one day, every day for an entire year. Whatever ludicrous number. Who in the CIA tried to kill Fidel Castro 365 times? Who was running their assassination project? Was it Wile E. Coyote of Warner Brothers? Was he using Acme dynamite? Was he using Trick cigars? How is it possible? And you look at a contrast. Fidel Castro supposedly survived all those assassination attempts, and meanwhile, who was it that murdered John Fitzgerald Kennedy? Well, it certainly doesn't look like it was Lee Oswald, especially given that the Zapruder film. And what was Abraham Zapruder? Bottom line, Zapruder was Jewish. And I forget, was he just happened to be at the perfect place in the perfect time? And the Zapruder film shows us that the kill shot came from the front and to the right, because Kennedy's head went back and to the left, and the back of his head went to the left and splattered out on the, you know, not to be graphic, but it's in the Zapruder film, and we've all seen it a million times, where his shell-shocked Catholic wife crawled out onto to the trunk to collect the rest of his brains. Clearly the shooter was not behind him in the book depository 200 yards away, firing an antiquated 6mm bolt action Carcano rifle. Okay. So who's the biggest suspect after Lee Oswald? Can we say the Central Intelligence Agency? Hey, JFK, you got to give Oliver Stone some credit. JFK, the Kevin Costner movie, played out like a fantastic documentary, very well researched. You might go ahead and say it's documentary level, and many of the points of contention are valid historical points, not just movie making. So that makes it the intelligence community and the Central Intelligence Agency. That's a military coup. Blowing the brains out of a sitting president in broad daylight is a military coup. So the CIA is capable of performing a military coup on a United States president, which, by the way, makes the CIA America's biggest enemy. And yet they're incapable of whacking a little tin dictator in Cuba. What is the magic that protected Fidel and Raul and the rest of the Castro family? Well, it's Roman Catholicism. Fidel is three times Catholic educated, once by the Christian Brothers and twice by the Jesuits. His mother was a hyper-devout Roman Catholic, and his brother Raul was a good little altar boy. These are powers that you don't appreciate unless you've experienced yourself. Whether someone claims to be an atheist, communist or not, deep down, when they're shaken, when their tree gets rattled, they go running home to the priest. Excuse me, especially if nothing bigger than that has ever held sway in their life, if they have no other foundation than what their mom taught them. They have no other foundation than what their wife deeply believes or whatever the influence is. I like to give the example of former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, whose family were pretty good Protestants. We're going to spend an entire show just on what that means. And yet felt, well, let's do the right thing by our little girl and make sure she gets a quality Catholic education. Cynthia McKinney was so overwhelmed by the influences that she experienced that she made up her mind to become a nun, a Roman Catholic nun. And eventually she settled for, I don't know why I'm thinking of Florence Nightingale, because she had the same desire to be a Roman Catholic nun, and she was a family friend, clergyman, talked her out of it and sent her on a mission trip to Turkey instead with Catholic nuns, with an Anglican nuns. There's a rabbit trail, a whole other story. But Cynthia McKinney settled for becoming a very devout Roman Catholic. And I got to tell you, Rome loves their minority Catholics. They love to manipulate and use them. How is it possible that a United States congresswoman can sort of breach the subject of systemic sex trafficking by the government and survive? Well, she's got the same protection that Fidel Castro had. And this is what put me down this path. This is why I say that it's bigger. And not to go back to Epstein, but let's go back to Epstein. I mean, how is it that Jeffrey Epstein's a household name? How is it that Epstein's a household name and yet no one is interested in his clientele? No one is interested in who paid his bills. No one is interested where his money came from. Who is a when is a individual is a pedophile pimp? There are obviously very important factors above and below that were just not worthy of the news. I get into these feudalistic families. For instance, the Kumos there in New York, of far left Roman Catholic governor of New York, Mario Cuomo, father of far left Roman Catholic governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, because there was no one else qualified in the People's Republic of New York than another Cuomo. We just had to have another Cuomo there. Brother of far left Roman Catholic, former CIA, CNN, CIA, same thing, anchor. CNN anchor Christopher Cuomo, and I've got his soundbite on my Odyssey channel. Listen, don't get involved with who is better friends of this guy, Jeffrey Epstein. Who cares, says Christopher Cuomo. Well, I care, especially given that your own wife was in Jeffrey Epstein's black book, as was your brother Andrew, as was his ex-wife, Mary Carrie Kennedy of the Kennedy clan. All in Jeffrey Epstein's black book, and with prominence too, with circles around him, particularly Mary Kennedy. That's worth looking into for a guy that is known that tried to commit suicide twice, had to commit it twice in order to succeed. You know, really on suicide watch. What exactly were the restrictions? If you have anything to do with the government, you have any knowledge of government procedure and policy, you're asking a million questions. How is it that a guy in a federal prison with the added restrictions of so-called suicide watch commits suicide and doesn't succeed and then is able to commit suicide again? How is it that there aren't officers involved that are themselves now in orange jumpsuits as a result of corruption and negligence? What? Are you kidding me? clearly there's a lot more that we are not being told. And, you know, just these are questions that pop up that apparently, you know, many people in media, many people in alternative media aren't asking. And sadly and unfortunately, average Joe Schmo on the street doesn't ask. But these are the questions that fueled my investigation. And I look deeper, and I'm always, when I'm upturning rocks, I'm always finding a Jesuit. I'm always finding a connection to the Catholic Church. And Epstein is just a great example. I don't even know if the guy's dead or not. As far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't be surprised if he was back on his little St. James rape island, orgy island, sipping Mai Tais.
It's an outrageous. It's just so big, just Epstein. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. And I always was thinking that, how is this going to happen? You know, I mean, 60 Minutes doing documentaries on him, the media talking about him. So something's going on here, you know? And then the whole suicide thing is just, I guess it's all part of entertainment, isn't it? Just entertaining everybody and distracting us. But just that alone, it just looking at your material and just some of the things you're scratching on, like the Clintons, you could be here for months. When you look at the American political spectrum there, the system, like the Bushes and all this, it is just unbelievable. The connections and how deep this goes, it's you'd need years just talking about a couple of these characters. I hope so, at some point we can get into the Clintons a little bit.
Absolutely.
Because this is phenomenal, isn't it? Not just the foundation and everything, but his whole past and the whole structure here is unbelievable. Just with that one president, that one kind of family. You talk about Kumo and New York, and then it's just there's a rabbit hole with every single individual. But as you're building here, it all leads back to the one place in that way.
It does.
So it's very interesting. Yeah,
I can easily connect the dots.
We're distracted with Israel. A lot, aren't we? With this, that's one. With the Zionists, as you mentioned, or Khazarian mafia, or European, you know, the Rothschilds, Rockefellers. But it's like, are they actually Jewish? Do they have any ties or care about Israel whatsoever? As you said before, they're jabbing them all now in Israel. So it's like, if Israel's running the world, why are they killing their own people with needles now? And people say Jews do everything, but I'm like, what Jews do you mean? Like, what's their name? What are their names? Oh, Jews did 9/11. Who? Like, who did it? You know, because there's a lot of different entities here involved. So that's part of the puzzle as well. But you do see very strong Jewish influence within the US government, and your Congress and everything like that. There's a lot of money going to Israel. There's a lot of tie-ups there as well. But where's it all going, and who's behind it all? That's what I've been trying to find out here. So
it's unmistakable. You bet, Adam. Yeah. It's unmistakable.
There's a lot of ties.
They're absolutely, and that's what makes it such a powerful trap. It's a powerful trap, because if you stay fixated on it, as Eustace Mullins did, if you stay fixated on it, as soon as you find what you're looking for, you stop looking. And you fail to realize that there may be a bigger hand pulling puppet strings above who it is that you found. It's unquestionable that there are many people in key positions that have this sort of a connection, either religious or ethnic, bloodline connection, or dedication to Zionism and the prosperity of the nation of Israel. It's unmistakable, these connections. But it's a very difficult question. And this traces back to the suppression of the Templars in 1307 on October 13th, unlucky Black Friday. When this was done, this is the only time that any sovereign in history brought the Vatican to heel. Philippe le Bel, Philip IV of France, who moved the Vatican from Rome to Avignon to put the Pope under his authority, and then went after the papal special forces of his day, the Templars. And he paid for his success with his life. But the suppression of the Templars was a powerful lesson to Rome, to the Vatican, in, hey, they used the identities, the open identities of our knights to hunt them down. And by the way, they only went underground. They weren't eradicated. They went underground. They went into banking. They owned banking, and they went underground and finished the job. They became Swiss bankers, and they became the Swiss Guard. Several places that went. They also perpetuated Freemasonry. Several of their strongholds include Scotland, of all places, and the United Kingdom and Britain. But the lesson was learned. Rome learned her lesson. She needed patsies. No longer could she conduct her criminal machinations out in the open. She needed people to blame. And here's a couple of bits of evidence that I like to use as proof that there's something bigger. Whenever you see Jewish influence, Jewish names, Zionist influence, it is almost always in a position that is inconsequential when it comes to real power. Hollywood is just owned and run. Well, what is Hollywood? Movie making. Well, it hands you your false reality, but it doesn't make war. It doesn't conduct the trafficking. It just uses the children and the women. It doesn't provide the children and the women. It just uses them. It's where the poor kids and women are dumped on very, very rare occasions. Like 1% of the victims might actually make it big in Hollywood. And that's, you know, the casting couch and all the satanic things that they do to those. And men too. It's sad and it's sick, but men too, in what they do, and many of our greatest action heroes have a bisexual or homosexual background, and of doing favors and getting where they need to be to do favors. It's how Hollywood works. But that's not where the real power is. That's not where wars are made. That's always Rome and Roman. And a great example is infrastructure. The Catholic Church runs, I was telling you the story off air of Charlie Manson and how Charlie Manson was found by a United States government chaplain who was a Roman Catholic priest in his boys' facility, in his rehabilitation facility, and moved on that chaplain's authority. Many judges do this. Many judges will assign troubled children, troubled boys, and orphans to Catholic facilities. He was sent to the Roman Catholic orphanage of Boys Town, and he had such a terrible, frightening experience that he ran away after only 2 weeks. Clearly, there was something serious going on. And when I say serious, I mean satanic, as in the use and abuse of the boys there. And I get into this in my third book, Eaters of Children, that decades ago, Boys Town was grossing $5 million a year, when $5 million a year is, I don't know what it is today, $30 trillion of debt, which, by the way, should be executing politicians for high treason. And I'm not being sensational. I'm serious. Guarantees the fiscal collapse of the country. You know, $5 million a year for Boys Town. Are you kidding me? Meanwhile, they're going around with their collars in their hands, begging from Catholics, please send money and donations to Boys Town. How are you making millions? Well, they're doing it by trafficking the boys. That's the crux of the so-called Franklin cover-up that was covered up itself by a Roman Catholic seminarian, an almost monk by the name of John DeCamp, who got his start working for a devout Roman Catholic CIA station chief in Saigon during Vietnam named Bill Casey, and the Phoenix Project, which is how John DeCamp proved his loyalty to the cause. And all of a sudden, John DeCamp becomes this righteous superhero on behalf of the children. And then the reality is John tells the story himself of how he met with the prefect for the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, which is what the Inquisition turned into. The Inquisition never went away, and it was never disbanded. It became the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. And John tells the story of how he met with the cardinal running the Inquisition, who at the time was Joseph Ratzinger. And Ratzinger said, hey, listen, we've got some overlap with this stuff, this trafficking stuff. I want you to redirect the focus away from our church. And that's exactly what he did. He turned the Boys Town cover-up into the Franklin cover-up. What the Franklin cover-up? What are you talking about? Well, yeah, that's the Federal Credit Union of the pimp, Lawrence King. The pimp. Okay, he's a pimp. He's a middleman. Who paid his bills? Who were his clientele? Well, that's not important. Oh, are you talking about Jeffrey Epstein or Lawrence King? Pick one. They're middlemen. You're not supposed to see who they catered to and who paid their bills above them. That's where a real investigator looks deeper. And when I look deep, you can't get any deeper than Boys Town. Boys Town, where Jewish Hollywood Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer did a propaganda film of the same name. 1935 I got to look it up now. But are you kidding me? Free of charge, and Jewish Hollywood is giving the Catholic Church this huge. I mean, look back. Look at the movies. You know, Bing Crosby, Roman Catholic Bing Crosby portraying kindly. How many times has Jewish Hollywood portrayed Roman Catholicism in a glowing light? And how many times have they portrayed the Vatican in a not so happy light? Oh my goodness, I'm trying to think of a movie. I don't want to get down a wrong track here of thinking of one movie that Orlando. Spell it. Bloom. Sex victim movie. Just watched it. What was it called? It was Retaliation. 2017 Orlando Bloom Retaliation. I was like, oh, here it is. Here it is at long last. We're getting into a detailed movie, a devastating movie about what it meant to be victimized by a Catholic priest. What was the message of the movie? The victim, instead of taking justice into his own hand and killing the priest, tells the priest, I love you, I forgive you. For no reason, just because it was what he needed to do. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? It's not even Christian doctrine, by the way. It's not even Christian doctrine. It is Jesuit heresy to forgive someone that doesn't ask for forgiveness. Christianity doesn't even work like that. So how many times has Hollywood portrayed Catholic, even when you are expecting the gist of the film to really explain things and really it doesn't. It doesn't. So infrastructure, and bottom line, infrastructure between Judaism and Catholicism, which of the two religions run thousands of schools and orphanages and hospitals out of which unbelievable heinous crimes are committed and without punishment? And I know we're coming up on the end of the show, but this is a great place. This is a teaser. How is it that you can have systemic child rape, abuse, torture, and sometimes murder the indigenous in Australia, in Canada, mass murder, genocide, South America, prison, real communism, which is where communism comes from, is a Catholic doctrine. Taparelli was a Jesuit priest that came up with the concept of social justice. How can you have that? How can you have it where you've got a literal genocide? I already said it, genocide. And no one is called. What happens? The government calls a committee to do a report. And at the end of the report, the government writes a check on behalf of the taxpayers to pay off the families of the victims. Are you kidding me? That's justice? How the heck did the Roman Catholic Church get in bed with the government in the first bloody place? And how is it that the taxpayer pays takes the blame? No clergy. I mean, dude, I have a section. Did I cover the electric chair? Where they actually fabricated an electric chair to torture indigenous children in Canada. Fabricated an electric chair to torture children. The ones after they raped them, put them in the chair, rape them again. Are you kidding me? Three little boys that ran away from the institution that showed up dead. Murder. And the investigation didn't go any further. None of the clergy were prosecuted. The real justice. I mean, think about this. Systemic rape and torture of children. What is justice? What is justice? Justice is at least execution. I mean, back in the day, it was commensurate with the crime. You know, like drawn. You know what it means to be drawn and quartered? To be flayed alive? I mean, the Jesuits wrote the book. The Jesuits wrote the book on death by torture. It's time for some of that back. So I don't know how to put this all, wrap it all up. I mean, was this a good enough teaser for a future show? I hope so.
Yeah. No. As I said when we started, it's really deep. And some of what you're saying, I'm into myself, and I got a few questions there, but there's just so, yeah, there's so much here. So it's a good start, an intro into what you're doing and your work and everything. Absolutely. All these characters, we just want to tie it all up here because it's just so important.
I didn't even go down. I didn't finish your thought on Clinton. We could do Clinton. We could do a whole show on Clinton.
Oh, it's so much.
On how he was guided through Jesuit Georgetown, on how how much did he brag about what Carol Quigley meant to him, and Carol Quigley's tome of a book, I forget the title of it off the top of my head, how it just changed his life. Well, it was actually a Jesuit priest that walked him through communist Europe all the way into Moscow, Richard McSorley, who was the family priest of the Kennedys, who actually arranged for young Bill Clinton, who was the bastard child of Winthrop Rockefeller. That's the Arkansas-New York connection, how it is that Hillary Clinton could pop out of nowhere and suddenly become a United States senator, female senator, a United States senator, or not a Roman senator, in New York, a place where she had zero roots. It's the Rockefeller connection, and above that are the Jesuits. I mean, we could go on. You send me what you want, brother. You send me what intrigues you, and I will play 6 degrees of separation, and I'll only need 2 or 3 degrees, I promise.
That's right. Just quickly, before, you were mentioning some films there that don't really go anywhere in regards to this. There was another film that I saw, and I just found it here because I was like, I better bring it up. It was called Spotlight. You remember this film? And it was supposedly
phenomenal
the reporters
film.
Uncovering the scandal in the Catholic Church.
You've got a Jewish Liev Schreiber, and everybody else is Catholic. Mark Ruffalo is Catholic. Michael Keaton is Catholic. And almost everybody at the Boston Globe, with the exception of the editor, I forget his last name, Barron, Marty Barron, who was a circuit riding editor who had been all around, phenomenal movie, and still laced with disinformation. This was the Jesuit tactic of sacrifice a pawn to spare the bishop. Very, very well done. I highly recommend the movie. But what was the disinformation? The disinformation is the Boston Globe does its job. The Boston Globe was forced to do its job by a courageous circuit-riding Jewish chief editor who popped in out of nowhere, said, we need to look deeper in this, had this phenomenal success, and left. What was the bottom line? The bottom line is, all of the frauds in propaganda that we call news are given credit for uncovering this systemic child sex trafficking. But part of the fraud is, that's just Baston. That's because the Catholic Church runs Baston. No, that's how the Catholic Church works everywhere. You know this in Australia. Just ask about Pell and how Pell got off. Okay?
Yeah.
The Catholic Church runs everywhere. So disinformation, there's a sacrifice of the pawns to spare the bishop. And, oh my goodness, who was the cardinal there in Boston who got a Roman Catholic send off there? It was cardinal. Who was it? It was how am I brain farting? If my brain freeze there, Bernard Law, of course. Thank goodness for the Jesuits and the internet that allowed me through DuckDuckGo at least. To get Bernard Law. So Bernard Law, we call it the pedo shuffle here at Team Cerucci, Adam, the pedo shuffle. So you've got a Catholic clergyman. And by the way, it's always the low-level priests. Just ask George Pell. Whenever it gets to the bishops and the cardinals, no, they're above raping young boys. And if they caress a boy's buttocks in a pool, as Gagin went to jail for that. Are you kidding me? He's raping boys for decades, but he went to jail for caressing a boy's buttocks in a pool. And do you know that the Massachusetts judiciary vacated the conviction after he was murdered in prison? Vacated the conviction. The victims were furious. What is the pedo shuffle within the Catholic Church? So you've got a priest, a clergyman, always a low-level priest, who rapes boys, sometimes girls, for decades. For decades, okay? For years at least. And what does the family do? And this is my anger finally against Catholics themselves, and not so much, you know, I try to be careful not to say, but you do this. You do this. You Catholics do this. God forbid you have a child that was sexually molested by a member of the clergy. What is the reaction? Sometimes the child is punished, is beat, is ignored. On the occasions where the child is not ignored, what do? Do you go to the cops? Do you go to social services? Do you go to a prosecutor? No. You go to the church. A father, bishop, your eminence, you know, Father Bugger over there sodomized my little boy. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Let that be my little boy. I'd be going to jail. How many times does that happen? Never, almost never. On the rare occasion where it does happen, we had a victim in France that murdered a priest that had been abusing them by jamming a crucifix down his throat. He immediately was arrested and went to prison himself. It wasn't looked into that he was given no clemency for having been brutally assaulted and violated by that priest. No, he went to prison. And this process of you go and report it to the church, to the clergy. Sometimes you even get paid off for it. What does the Catholic Church do? They take the child raping clergyman. They send him to a vacation home for a couple of weeks of rehabilitation. And then they plug him into a completely separate diocese where he picks up where he left off. Are you kidding me? That's a war crime. That's a war crime. You have an entire infrastructure. You have an entire religion, a massive religion with an institution, with confessionals, a priesthood, massive amounts of money. Go into the coronavirus, the unbelievable scam of the coronavirus, crushing small business. Oh, by the way, we'll let you have some pennies and some crumbs of your taxpayer money back, so that you can save your family-owned business. Oh, I'm sorry. The Catholic Church is going to jump in front of you and collect billions of coronavirus scamdemic relief money to pay off rape victims and their families. It's a war crime. It is a war crime. We're not talking about Jews. We're talking about the Catholic Church. Judaism doesn't have the structure for that. Regardless of individual crimes, they don't have the structure. The Catholic Church does. The child sex violation and abuse alone, systemic. And a great part of Spotlight is shows how the police and the judiciary were all on board. So, and anyway, so does that, were you thinking that Spotlight was a, was an exception? And did I change your mind? Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, you know, just gave me that feeling that they can never cut the head of the snake off.
That's the point. Oh, brother, home run. That's the point. Mm. We need to cut off the head of the Hydra that won't grow back. And by being the intelligence source that I show my audience of true seekers, this is the head, not the so-called Illuminati. And we'd do that another time because it was real for a short period of time when the Jesuits were suppressing themselves. Not the globalists, not the deep state, not any of that's nefarious. The Roman Catholic Church is an enemy you can go after, and that is the head that won't grow back. And you, they will fight you every step of the way because they own the infrastructure. They own the cops. They own the judges. They own the politicians. But what they need is to hide. Once that veil is ripped off, once we say George Soros, how is it that George Soros is the epitome of Jewish evil? You realize that the guy put himself on the map by going around under the protection of Catholic families and collecting up the property of Jews who had been arrested by the Nazis. You realize that's what put George Soros on the map for the Catholic Church, why they love him. Same point about Israel. If Israel is running things, why are they vaccinating themselves into non-existence? It's because there's a higher authority over them that hates them, that thinks it's funny to lift up guys like George Soros, that thinks it's funny to make Israel the butt end of everyone stop looking for something further and then to destroy Israelis with a vaccine, a green card. Are you kidding me? That's the new yellow armband. This is what I hope to prove to your audience and to you, my friend. God bless you for your open-mindedness. God bless you for your open-mindedness and your willingness to even hear me. And hopefully this is just a teaser to go a little further.
That's right. And we will indeed. And we're going to be talking a lot more about this stuff and Israel as well. Going to be looking at more in the Vatican Club of Rome. All this committee is 300, all these secretive organizations, also the City of London. The so-called royal family there. We'll talk a little bit about Germany itself. Maybe get your information on Hitler and what was done to Germany as well, the destruction of the cities and the violent rape and murder of so many Germans and women, everything like Dresden. This hatred for Germany as well, you know, the hatred of that.
The home of Martin Luther.
Yeah, unbelievable. And all these characters, how they tie in, and this basic sort of, how I see it is that they don't mind if we discuss all these different things, but yeah, that head of the snake never gets discussed or cut off. It always sort of keeps moving away and it always seems to remain sheltered there and protected. It's really incredible, and there's a lot of characters we could center on, as I said, the Clintons and a few of these, and Epstein. This is really interesting one, Epstein being Jewish himself, and all of this. But this character, this was far deeper than what they were telling us. This was like a whole game. Same with Trump, the Trump show, you know, all of this. This is something to talk about as well, the Trump connections a little bit more and what's going on with him even now, the psyche of the American people, how they were tricked or pretty much tricked into loving this guy so much. Interesting you brought up the QAnon thing, because that's a strong player, kind of infected the whole truth movement, especially here. People had this faith in it, they were going to do something, we don't have to get off our asses and do anything because these guys are going to come in on their horses.
Operation
with Trump
Trust,
and save
White
us.
Hats.
Yeah. So, you know, you, the average Joe Blow, just sit there, it's all going to be done for you. They're pulling the kids out of the tunnels, they're saving us. It's another, you know, and I always, as more people become aware, as more of us do sort of become aware and start asking questions, because we got a lot of sort of big protests that have happened in Australia and at our capital. Also, I want to discuss Australia a bit and the Freemasons, the Masonic system. I want to talk to you about this on the next one. The Freemasons, how this is all through our police, the way they look. It's all through our government. Like our Parliament House in Canberra is an actual pyramid. It's really crazy that all of this stuff. But at a lot of these protests, there's a very strong fixation now on child molestation and child rape within the Australian government because they're covering it up. Our Prime Minister as well, he's tied up with a group here, the Hillsong Church. These guys are all molesting children as well. They're covering them up in the Parliament. And this all goes far, far deeper. These child molesters are right through our government, police forces, military. They're right through especially the entertainment industry here in Australia and very famous old entertainers. They have been doing this as well. And it goes right back, But where does it go and who's behind it? So that's another interesting detail as well, because Australia's kind of the belly of the beast here if we're looking at these child molesters and pedophiles in positions of power. That's a very strong, as you said, Cardinal Pell. A lot of people very confused about that and angry and upset, and because they were led to believe that something's going to happen here, and look what happened. And you explained that perfectly, and we can talk a little bit more about that. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Just a ticket out, like a, I don't know, it's like, what's going to happen here? And then they just get like a ticket to ride. Nothing goes on. And then it just all gets forgotten about. And as you said, the families whose children are being molested by this church, they're not going elsewhere to get help. They're going to the very people who did it to try and get an answer. And it's just, it's as you said, these people love playing with everybody. It's a mind game. And this system is there.
Not to step on you, but same thing with governments.
Same thing as well.
How is it that governments investigate, whether it's Tuskegee or Willowbrook or any of these government institutions, Canada, Australia? Wait a minute. The government is investigating the government being in bed with the Catholic Church and raping and murdering. And we're going to trust that we're going to have justice. Government. It's the criminals investigating itself. Are you kidding me? How are we going to get justice?
Well, government is all fake, and it just distracts people. You know, we think we're voting for government, and people have a lot of faith in the government, you know. And at the end of the day, they just don't believe that the government could actually do these wicked things, you know. And this is what we're trying to talk about here, to get people to understand, you know. You're sleeping with the enemy. It's, you know, you've got to look at this more. They're not here for you. You know, we can see that with our police forces. You know, once we stand up and start challenging them back, they come and attack us to protect the government. But who's paying all these people, and who's behind all this? This is the interesting thing that people aren't asking themselves. But I'm interested in asking you a few things, just because Australia, like Canada, being a Commonwealth country and under the Queen. And this British thing and the City of London, the money, the gold, the Vatican. We talked about this with John Hamer a bit. The wealth, the incredible wealth. I'd love to go into that on the next one with you as well. What the wealth of these people here. What's going on in the Vatican and with these popes? The Black Pope, all this kind of stuff. This all interests me, and we've talked about it since we started. I used to talk to my dad a lot about it on the show, so it's going to be interesting to get you to tie all this up, because it, on this podcast, it is a common theme since I started. We didn't just focus on the one thing, and people get angry at that because they want to blame the Jews for everything. They want me to bloody sit up here all day and all night talking about Jews. Well, you know, I'm not going to do it because that would be boring and bore the crap out of everybody who's listening. And number two, doesn't end there. Yes, they're a part of this, but it goes deeper. And I've always brought in this Catholic Church thing and the Pope. I just thought, this is, we've got to look more at this. But anyway, it's something that I've always chatted about. So it's interesting to meet up with you so you can tie all this up. And people can take that and do their own research, add more. Some people might not like it, might not agree with everything. It's just about getting the conversation rolling. So that's an important step today anyway. I think you've talked about your past and led us into the next show, indeed. So we can continue now with all these same characters, and people can, I might have to call them one and two.
like part one and part two, so people don't get lost.
It's critical for people to understand, what is it that you're trying to do? Are you trying to free yourself from a vicious feudal system?
Mm.
And if in order to do that, you need to know who's running things. And I can tell you, wipe out every Jewish person in a key position. You could wipe out the nation of Israel, and I promise you, you will not be any more free. That's the point. What is your solution? And that's why it's so powerful to use an ethnicity as a patsy, because it inflames instinctive emotions. There are many in so-called evangelical Christianity that have an overwhelming instinctive love for Jews and Israel beyond reason, in the same way that there are many people that have an overwhelming hatred for Jews and Zionists. That, in either direction, as soon as you have an overwhelming emotion, it clouds your critical thinking, and that is exactly what they want. They want you not the same game is played, Black Lives Matter, black versus white, Jew versus Gentile. They want you to have your emotions inflamed to disconnect your critical thinking so that they remain invisible. And that's what we're here for. And God bless you. That's what you're sincerely trying to do.
That's right. All right, buddy. I think we've done well today in the time frame, and I'll throw some quick dates out for you on the Skype message, and so we can do the next one.
Continue. I love it. You're the real deal. Send me those dates, and also send me the specifics if you want to burrow down into.
That's okay. I think I will. I think we'll keep it fairly light on the next one as well. Just going over the bullets and those questions that I asked you there. You know, City of London, City of Rome, these things, these connections, the wealth, the power, the knowledge, the idea, the intent interests me behind what they're doing and how they seem to know us so well. How they're so cunning, how they cover themselves. It's just really interesting. You know what I mean? They know us so well, how our minds work, so they can cunningly manipulate people. And then even
it's called the confessional, Adam. It's called the confessional.
It's absolutely amazing. Yeah. That whole idea, we could discuss that a little bit, like the mechanics behind it. It's really interesting, that psychology and stuff. It always interests me. But we'll probably just do the next one whenever you can, really, to continue, so they're not too stretched apart. And see if you can do that one of those dates. But I'll put that through on the Skype message for you, and we'll connect again quicker anyway, so we can continue, because good ground covered today. And I want the listeners to let us know what you think, so comment away and send us any questions or anything. I'm sure you've got an email, buddy, and I'll connect that into the podcast link if anyone has any questions to contact you as really? Well. I'm sure there will be. And let us know, folks. I want to get the discussion rolling on this, and we'll connect on the next one.
Adam, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm very excited to keep going and to connect with you. It's Johnny Cerucci, JohnnyCerucci.com, and Johnny@JohnnyCerucci.com is that email. So again, brother, it seems like I'm being effusive, but I'm not. It's because I'm so excited when I connect with a host that sincerely is just asking questions and open-mindedly seeking whatever the truth is, without any presuppositions of, okay, tell me the truth as long as you end with a Jew somewhere. No. Well, wait a minute. That's not the truth. Who are you, a scientist? Are you a doctor? Because that's what they do. And are you a virologist? Because that's what they do. That's a whole nother show. Love you, man. I'm here for you. Send me whatever it is, and I'll be very excited to set it up.
No, all good. There's no ego here. I may be wrong a lot of times, but I'm just on my own journey, and I'm learning. and I'm open to learning and all of this. I enjoy it. I didn't get this in school. I didn't get it in high school. I got thrown out of high school because I rebelled. And a lot of people go to school and they feel really uncomfortable. And this is because you're being lied to. And it's absolute all a scam. This is real history. And it's just interesting to for myself to learn all this stuff and take notes and everything. And I'm sure it will get deeper. And I'll just say as well on Skype here, if you could put your links there for me. Clickable links so I can have them all in the one place. I had an email and links to your website, your podcast, books, everything that's relevant so I can just quickly attach that in.
We'll do.
Maybe just chuck it here on the Skype chat and we'll connect on the next one.
Outstanding. Love you, brother. I'll be watching, listening to the show too.
Absolutely. I'll put that through for you as well.
Outstanding. Have a great day, Adam. Thank you so much. Looking forward to seeing you again.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care.